If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about annoying in-laws. Jade, your mother keeps trying to catch you out, is that right?
That's right, yeah. She sets up little pranks around the house. She'll put like pebbles in my shoes and she'll make soup and put like sugar in it.
Sugar?
She'll swap the sugars and salts and things
yes.
like that.
Oh, yes. So they're kind of like pranks.
Yeah, I guess so. But really, she's kind of gaslighting me into thinking that, you know, this stuff is happening when it is.
I know what you mean. Yeah. So she's trying to make you think that this is kind of your doing, or you're imagining it, you're going a bit crazy. Okay. Why do you think she's doing this, Jade?
I mean, we have had kind of a turf war going for a while.
Turf war?
Yeah, I mean, I bought the house maybe like 5 or 10 years ago, and she wants to kind of fight me for it.
Mm. Who did you buy it from?
Her.
Oh, well, right, you bought her house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and you're letting her stay there.
Yeah. Well, I guess I took the deed. One of my famous pranks, and I just changed the name to mine.
Okay.
But, you know, finders keepers.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. And you didn't pay her anything for that?
Well, no, but like squatter's rights, I paid her with my presence.
Oh, no, I understand. Like you legally, it was all above board what you did.
Yeah.
So she's no recourse. But you could see why that might put her out, though, as in why she might want to get you back.
Yeah, but it's fair and square now. You know, I mean, if she wanted to, she could. Well, no, she couldn't get the deed because I've hidden it now. But
right. Well, let's bring on your mother-in-law, Helen. Helen, what do you have to say about this? Are you gaslighting your daughter-in-law?
I don't know. Like this is the strangest thing that's ever happened to me now. I was just sitting there watching Nation Street, Coronation Street.
Yes.
And this lunatic is all I could say. Comes in telling me, I've got the deeds. Chasing me around, I could barely walk. And I had to put the seven curses of Connemara on her. And one of them is, in fact, putting pebbles in the shoes.
Okay.
So she's now telling me that she's the owner of the house, and I'm just to put up with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that, that's not the government that I voted in.
Well.
That's not the rules.
I mean, it's nothing to do with the government, you know. It's
the law of the land.
It's the law of the land. She has the deeds now, so.
The law of the land, yeah. Where does the law of the land come from?
The land.
The government.
That I own.
Yeah, but certain laws are, you know.
Well, I never signed over the bill. She
took it though.
She put an X on the name. Like I was
she
some
crossed
kind
out
of
your name, yeah.
Dyslexic pirate.
Yeah.
X marks the spot.
Yeah.
And she went down to the post office and she told them that this woman, she can't read nor write.
Yeah.
And there she has had her sign over the house.
Yeah.
And they believed her. Those fools believed her.
Well, look, I mean, that's done now. You know, finders keepers. She's got the D's. Do you not think maybe it's time for you to give
up.
Over?
She's messed up my whole DVD collection. I had it color-coded by the
my
back
DVD
of them.
Collection.
Oh, that's yours as well now?
Well,
I suppose it was in the house.
Now that I've got the deed, you know, everything kind of
Everything in the house is kind of... Listen, you mentioned the seven... What was it? The seven curses of Connemara?
The seven curses
and
of Connemara.
And the pebbles in the shoe.
Pebbles in the
shoe. What are some of the other ones?
Some of the other ones is... Cut and curse is that you just like you keep cutting yourself and cursing, then it makes you have a foul mouth.
Okay. Has that happened to you, Jade?
Yeah, no, I've cut myself many times.
Right.
A little nick, and you think, oh, that's just a little nick. But then you cut yourself on the paper.
Yeah.
You cut yourself on a little jagged rock that might be sticking out of the bus stop.
All right, so this is like a proper like magical curse.
Oh, gotcha.
All right, okay, cool. Any other notable ones?
Oh, there was the patented whiskey souring one. It makes your whiskey
sour.
Yes. And
that one's actually delicious. I don't mind that one.
Yes, that was, I have to write that one out of the curse.
Yeah. Well, if you don't like your whiskey sour, though, that, I mean, it would irritate some people, I think. Look, I want to try and arbitrate here. I want to try and, you know, get you guys back together. So I'm going to bring in an expert psychologist who deals with family feuds, Dr. Flynn. Dr. Flynn, have you seen cases like this before where mother and daughter-in-law are fighting over ownership of a house, say?
Yes. I get this in my clinic maybe 3 times a week. So
it's the classic thing, the annoying mother-in-law who's wrecking everyone's head. And
I think it stems from the son being taken away from the mother.
I don't have a son. That's the issue here.
That is strange,
here.
Yeah.
This woman comes into my house and starts shaking her booty around the place, huff heaving everything out of the way.
I'm sorry, are you? I didn't get your name, lovely lady.
Jade,
are you shaking your booty around the house?
Well, yeah, I mean, I own it. I can shake my bum on whatever I want.
Now, hang on though, because Helen raised an interesting point. How are you related to her? Like, how are you an in-law?
Yes, how are you an in-law?
I'm a friend of a friend, is married. Look, I don't want to get into it.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
One of the other curses I put on her was stumbling when she's put under pressure.
Okay, yes, yeah.
And
yeah,
as
yeah.
you can see...
It's working.
It happens to liars.
Yeah. And Helen, had you ever had a son or a daughter? Have you any kids?
My only son, he's left this world.
Right. Did you marry the man who left the world?
Yeah, he's an astronaut. He's up in...
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, that makes my job easier. The son has went into space. Where is he, Jupiter? We're not really sure. Top secret.
Lost in space?
Say no more. He went up on, you know, the spaceship that had explosion.
Oh, one of the ones that blew up.
It went boom, boom.
Yeah.
Right.
And he hasn't...
He hasn't contacted me since.
Since that, no. That's unusual.
Right.
That's unusual.
He did say that I could move in kind of at my own leisure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So does that change things, Dr. Flynn? Does that...
Well, it just makes me understand the situation more. I mean, I think it just have to be the 5-step process which I give my clients.
Great. Step one.
Sit down, have a cup of tea, okay? And I don't want to see any sugar, salt, or, you know, any of those Connemara curses.
Well, you could have sugar, though, if you wanted sugar.
Yes. No, yes, you could absolutely have sugar. But I don't want, you know,
but
Helen
you'd have to
mixing
go for the
around
salt in our
house. Salt. You know,
you
God forbid your blood pressure could be off, you know, skyrocketing now with all that salt being replaced with sugar. And second step, obviously... Go for a walk, but hold hands. You'd be surprised about the physical contact. It actually smooths out a lot of issues that I see with my clients. Now, even if your hands get a bit clammy, just keep them there.
Keep them clasped.
Keep them clasped, because that's sweat. I think we undermine sweat
We
at the
do
best
undermine
of
sweat,
yes,
yeah.
That actually kind of joins the cells and in turn joins the heart.
Oh, right. So you're almost like
forging a relationship.
A collection,
yeah.
Like a symbiotic kind
exactly.
of relationship.
Yes. And in the sweat, you know, because you grow closer, it actually takes out that in-law and you actually just become her mother.
Yeah.
Which is fine because the son's gone.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
And then the third
and
step.
All it takes is a lubricated hand.
Well, hang on, there's a couple, we've got 3 more steps. Come
third
on.
Step, you Give come back chance. From the walk, yeah. Cluedo.
Oh, okay,
Cluedo.
With 2 people though? I mean, you can.
Do you have any friends, Helen?
not really, no.
Right, well, I can play witches. I can come down if
okay,
you
Okay, yeah.
Ergo.
No, look,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you can
it's
play
actually,
with 2, but...
Yeah, T12, yes. Or 7-2.
or 7-2. Perfect.
Sorry, what's that?
But don't. It's the air code. Make it down for the game of Cluedo. And Cluedo just kind of, it builds character. You get to see each other kind of in a different character.
And it's problem solving. Like a mystery.
Trusting. Yeah. Maybe not trusting. And it, again, is just developing that relationship. Now, where are we now? Step four, going on holiday. I send my clients off to Tenerife and I pay for it.
Oh, lovely.
I'm in. All inclusive, anything you want, Captain Morgan's for breakfast.
You pay for it?
Yeah.
Do you charge that back to them though?
Yeah.
Okay.
After about, it's kind of a 10 years payment scheme.
Okay.
And then you come back from Tenerife, you've a lovely tan. And then step five is you're going to start your very own choir.
Okay. And just the two of them? Again, just two?
Just two. Okay. If you need a sub, I can come in if one of you are sick. But the choir,
is it a choir if it's just two, though? It's more of a group?
More of a group? Yes.
I'm an alto now.
I think I say choir because all my patients end up becoming one choir. So you'll join them, but you'll start off just as your own small choir.
Okay.
And then before you know it, you've forgotten why you came into me.
Yeah.
And then the 10-year payment scheme starts for the holiday to Tenerife.
Okay, yeah. Okay, wow. Well, listen, honest to God, that's the best advice we've ever had on this show. It just sounds perfect. I mean, are you guys willing to give all that a go?
I mean, I don't see why not. Yeah.
You get a holiday out of us.
Get a holiday. Get to join a choir.
Which sounds like fun.
Cluedo with
appreciate sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweat into each other's hands. Yeah.
And Helen, do you think once you guys do all the five steps that you'll be happy to, you know, just let Jade have the house and do whatever she wants and keep your DVDs and all the rest of it?
I think I've entered into some kind of pyramid scheme, and the two girls are in it together, I think, and it is a scheme, but...
Well, it's funny you mentioned pyramid scheme, actually. Stay on the line, Jade, because I actually want to bring on another caller, Mike, whose brother-in-law has got you involved in a pyramid scheme. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know it was a pyramid scheme. I just thought it was kind of like a crew I was joining.
Yeah.
And I just handed over my signature and thought nothing of it.
Yeah, a crew. You thought you were joining a crew?
Yeah.
What kind of crew?
A crew of just lads.
Yeah, okay. Like a street gang,
selling like lotions and stuff to men.
Okay.
Yeah. Skincare for men.
Is that a crew? I've never heard of that kind of crew.
Well, there was, you know, like weekly meetups.
Okay.
I don't have many mates, so okay. I was looking for.
Okay. So what's your brother's name?
Gary.
So Gary said, "Hey, Mike, come and join this crew. Sign here, and we'll hang out, and we'll sell skincare products together."
Exactly. Right. We go like door to door, you know, baskets of cream, and then you kind of just, you know, have a cup of coffee afterwards, and I'd see them again the next week.
Okay.
So.
And did you have to pay a lot of money then, too, Gary?
Yeah.
How much?
10 grand.
Upfront.
Upfront. Right. Sold me car. Yeah.
Sold your car.
Yeah. Okay.
You must be. Kind of lonely that you were willing to sell your car just to have some mates.
Bit lonely, I don't like the bus.
You don't like the bus?
Well, I don't like the bus now that I don't have to feel
pumped. Sorry. I thought that was something to do with why you were lonely. Like you couldn't meet people because you don't like the bus. No, I understand. I want to bring on Gary. Gary, do you accept that you've roped your brother into a pyramid scheme?
I don't think so. I think he's good at selling the creams. I think it's nice to have a bit of a family business. It's nice to spend time with them, really.
Yeah, yeah. With the crew,
when
the whole crew.
He's not on the bus. The whole crew, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just very good at his job selling stuff.
Have you made any money, Gary?
Yeah, I've made about €87. I've been there about 2 weeks now.
Okay, so by that... just doing the maths there. It'll take a while to get
take
the 10
a while,
grand back.
Yeah. And then because I'm spending a lot of money on the bus because it's a bit out my way.
We don't cover travel expenses.
Unfortunately, yeah. And you presumably have to keep buying more product as well.
More product,
so how much more money have you spent on top of the 10 grand?
That would be about 200 each week to replace the skincare because it goes off.
Oh, goes off.
It's perishable. It's organic.
Oh, so you're definitely You're definitely losing money on that, I would say.
Do you think so, Dave?
I've done the maths.
Do you have a lens?
You're down the 10 grand straight away because you're not seeing that back. And now you're down 200 every week. And if you're only making 87 every 2 weeks, you're not doing too good.
But do you think if I get really good at it and then I start to sell more and then, you know, maybe get the bus out a bit further to a new audience.
Yeah, now you say it now, Dave, like, he's done a very good job at selling the creams, and I actually have a special new shipment coming in. It's 20 grand a pot, but I think you're more than capable of selling it to the fine people. Oh,
so this is a real high-end exclusive product.
It's a very good deal, Dave. It's a one-in-a-lifetime deal.
Well, so you're doing Gary a real favour by giving him the opportunity to get in on this once-in-a-lifetime.
Yeah, me skin's never looked better.
Yeah. I believe in him.
Oh, you're probably using all the...
Yeah, the ones
before
that,
it goes off.
Before it goes off, you know, it goes off about 6 o'clock in the evening. So I just lash it on.
Yeah, yeah. Where could you rummage up 20k, do you think, for this extra special cream?
Probably like prostitute.
Yourself?
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing.
That's going to take
actually
a while.
Winning streak.
Oh, yeah.
Because you walk away with minimum 20 grand and there's no knowledge that you need on that show.
Yeah.
You just go there, you have your lucky little charm, you give them a wave, then you go, you spin the wheel, you pick a few numbers, and you walk out with a Honda Civic and 2 weeks to Greece.
Okay, great. So all you need to do is get on to winning streak. So in order to do that, though, you're probably going to have to invest in the cards.
Yeah, or ring Marty himself and explain the situation.
No, I don't think, because it's run by the lotto. I don't think he can.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think they can just sort of let you on. You know, you have to get the card and the scratch, and then you have to get the 3 stars, but then they also put it into a draw. So.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking I could kind of let him know, look, I'm going to put something very heavy in this envelope. So then when he's putting his hand
put
in the little ball, he'll kind of feel the envelope and say, that's him.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe if I could, do you have a number for him?
I don't know. Is he still involved?
Last time I seen it,
I don't have a number for him, but we can...
I hit up Derek Mooney as well, just in case.
Yeah, you know, you could email his radio show and get in touch with him that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So then, yeah, I'd be able to make the 20 grand, problem.
You probably won't have to prostitute yourself.
No, won't.
Well, let's not say no to everything,
you don't have to rule anything out. Maybe you could help him with that, Mike.
Yeah, how are you paying for it?
I used to have my sources, you know. I sell. I'm the one that sells the cream to the sellers, so I'm covered.
In the pyramid scheme, Mike's up there, you know.
Right.
You're down.
Yeah.
So it'll take a while for you to
get up there.
Yeah,
I really look up to him, you know.
Yeah.
He's my idol.
Yeah.
Well, of course, like, I'm very successful, you know.
I've always wanted to be like it.
Mike, have you got many people in your pyramid crew?
I would say about seven lads now.
Seven lads.
The crew.
Seven amigos. The
organic crew. Watch out. Back in the booth. But don't like the booth.
No. But you've no other way of getting around, have you?
No other way.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, look, it sounds like you're doing great, Mike.
And
Gary. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you've got this great opportunity now with the really, really expensive stuff. And, like, if you sold that, imagine.
Wow.
You could probably buy your Fiat Punto back.
Janie Mac, and in the, you know, not like the 1999 one, like, you know, maybe 2013.
Yeah, absolutely. Reach for the stars. Okay, great talking to you, Mike and Gary. Thanks so much for phoning in. Some of you hear, like, positive stories when we're talking about... it's annoying in-laws. I don't know why Mike phoned in. That's weird. As I'm sure you know, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another one you should definitely check out.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Preisner and I'm here to tell you about my show, Basically. It's all in the name, really. The show makes things basic for people. We've done episodes about world religions. We've done episodes about COVID. We've done a lot of episodes about mental health and different aspects of mental health to make things accessible to people. One of the great things about the podcast is that you can contact me and let me know what topics you would like. So have a listen, see if anything tickles your fancy. And if there's something there that you think is missing, please get in touch with the show. We'll cover the topic and then you can listen to it. We're part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, so you can find us on headstuffpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you soon.
There is a new way to support the show, and it's called Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll not only help me to continue making more episodes of this show, you'll also get heaps of bonus content from every single show on the network. That includes new bonus episodes of this show, which will be released every other week. So please head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. My special guest joining me in the studio today is a professor of parapsychology and psychic phenomenon at Griffith College here in Dublin. You're very welcome to the show, Professor Dee Dee Seymour.
Thank you so much.
Oh, Dee Dee, it's so great to have you on the show. I know you're into all things psychic and phenomenon, but at the moment you have you're coming in to talk about this breakthrough that you made in the area of near-death experiences. Is that right?
Yes, I made an amazing breakthrough. So basically, I realized that when people are about to die, they start to sleep a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. And when you notice that happening, if you just cuddle in beside them, you can actually see what they're going into, heaven or hell.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's not what I expected at all. So in the run up to their death, they'll be having a little snooze. Just cuddle in beside them.
Yeah. Snuggle in. Make sure their arm is around you and you're really...
So you're the little spoon.
Your little spoon, yeah. And then really snuggle in there beside them and just kind of squeeze your head beside their head. And then you can kind of see if it's blue skies and God is there, then you know it's good.
That's heaven,
and then if you see dark fire devils, you know they've been a bold person.
So when you say, excuse me, when you say see it, do you close your eyes and see it?
Close your eyes, yeah.
Now, how do you know that what you're seeing comes true, if you know what I mean? Like, how can we prove this?
Well, I'm a psychic, so I've done it with my own family members.
Right.
My mother, for example, who passed away.
Okay.
She was a terrible person.
Oh, so you knew she was going to hell anyway.
I knew she was going to hell, but then when I snuggled in beside her, it confirmed it for me.
Okay.
So I seen, you know, other bad people there at the gates of hell.
Of hell,
You know, like people... maybe Hitler.
Hitler was there. Yeah, you said maybe Hitler now.
Hitler. He was a bit blurry. He was in the background.
It could have been Charlie Chaplin.
You know, David Guest. You know,
David Guest was there?
From Big Brother.
Yeah. That's sad.
That is sad. Yeah, I'm surprised to see him there, actually.
Yeah, he seemed good on Big Brother. You know, I'm not shocked, but, you know, Hitler, of course.
Exactly,
you know.
Yeah, no, he's a surprise.
But your mum sounds like a real piece of work.
Real piece of work. And, you know, sometimes you'll see people there who do surprise you. But it's, I think.
Give us one of those then.
So, I don't know if you know Brittany Murphy.
Oh, yes, from Clueless.
Yeah. She was in hell.
Okay.
And that surprised me. But the reason Great actress, yeah. But then I looked it up and she had done awful things like kicking children.
Well, look, Jesus. If we're going to hell for kicking children, then... I'll see you there.
That's the thing. And heaven is a lot emptier than people would think.
Right.
So that's what I tell people, you know, when you do snuggle in beside them, get ready to see a few faces who you've looked up to.
Yeah.
And that's...
Right.
That's
there's a kind of a lesson for us all in that then. Like,
exactly.
Maybe stop kicking kids.
Stop kicking children. Absolutely.
Just like tone it down, I'd say. You don't have to stop altogether.
Jaywalking.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, I mean... Everyone in Ireland, you know, practically jaywalks.
Exactly, yeah. No, if you've ever jaywalked ever, you're done for. You're in hell, like a bat in hell.
Not getting out.
Not getting out, yeah.
Okay, Jesus. Right, I have to go ahead and think about that now. Sorry, you've thrown me with that, Dee Dee. Right, we better move on anyway. Hans is on the line. Hans, you had a near-death experience. What happened?
Yes, I did. Yes, I was walking in front of a car and I heard a voice behind me saying, stop.
Okay.
And I looked behind me and it was a man and he was like, ha ha. Oh. And the car was coming for me.
Yes.
And luckily I got out of the way.
Right.
But when I asked these people, who's this man? He tried to kill me. He tried to make me stop in front of this car. They're like, what are you talking about?
There was no man.
There was no man. But it turns out I am like a clairvoyant. I see.
No.
Well, I have like imaginary friends.
Okay.
But they're not like people. Other people call them imaginary friends, but they're real people.
Okay. So he was a real person.
Yes.
But he wasn't a friend.
And to confirm what the doctor said, it was Lucifer or Satan.
Oh, Satan tried to kill you.
Yes. Well, we are kind of friends, you know.
Okay.
Was
it kind of a gag?
Well, yeah, I guess I was okay in the end, you know, so I can't really.
But if the car had hit you.
Yeah, like that would have been uncool.
Yeah, it would have been uncool. What do you make of that, Didi? Have you heard of this kind of thing before? Satan trying to play tricks on people? And
absolutely. Satan likes to play around with people, especially when they're so close to death. And I think what Satan was doing is he was just playing a game with you. He sees you as a friend and I think he wants you to come to hell. But not yet.
What's happened now is I think he did think I was going to die, but because I didn't, we're kind of stuck together now. Like he kind of hangs out with me,
watch
TV. Yeah.
Okay. What's he like?
Yeah, he's okay. He's funny sometimes. He's good at comebacks. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, this woman Susan at work. She made fun of me, and Satan was like, "Hey, tell her face is her hair is stupid." And I said it out loud, and everybody laughed at me. And now Susan it keeps to herself.
She keeps her mouth shut. Yeah,
she
does.
Satan's really good at pointing at people's insecurities.
Oh, like he can probably see right into the heart of the matter. Yeah, yeah. It's got its ups and downs. Then I would imagine. Would you say Hans is going to hell?
I would say yes, most definitely. If Satan is following around now, what he's doing?
But maybe he's trying to. Maybe he's one of the souls that he's trying to win back from heaven.
Yes.
Do you know? So he's literally the devil on his shoulder telling him to say these mean comebacks to people.
Yes, absolutely. To get you into hell. And
are you worried about that, Hans?
It has kind of like an internship feel about it, the dynamic between me and Satan. Like sometimes I feel like he's trying to teach me his ways.
Okay, like you might be in line for a job there, or
yeah, maybe like a second in command. It does seem like he's because the reasons for people going to hell is so minimal now that it's pretty packed. You know,
yes.
They need more people. Just for admin purposes.
Yeah.
They're really low on staff.
It's hard to get people though. Everyone's saying that at the moment. You know,
yeah,
it's just
absolutely
hard to get people. It's a buyer's market in the workplace. You know?
And I think he's also waiting for you to have a really exciting death, you know, that whole thing of stop, you know, there's a car coming, what happened to you?
Yeah,
he's actually following you around to see if you can get like a really exciting death, because when I saw the vision with my mother, there was actually a chart on the back wall and it had like the most exciting deaths. So I think he's taken a liking to you and he wants you to have an exciting death so you can be number one on that chart.
So I'd
honestly take it as a compliment from Satan. He kind of picks and chooses who he's friends with.
Okay, great. Well, good news for Hans. I want to bring in Father Nestor from the PHP.
Yes.
I'm not familiar. What's PHP, Father?
The PHP is basically the Psychic Hunting Priests Alliance.
Okay.
I forgot about the A at the end. We are outraged. It was myself and seven other priests from the locality. We decided to come together over the lockdown period because people like your caller here were going around and performing sacred duties, basically. It's our, like, the devil really is in the detail of these things. And excuse that pun, as good as it is.
Sorry.
We are God's servants, you know, and we should be giving the last rites.
Yes.
And this woman is going around and
better the devil you know.
Better the devil you know. And I have worked in so many different areas in Ireland. I've been moved from parish to parish to parish, not by my
own. You must be really good.
I think I am. I'm spreading something. The command usually comes from somebody much higher up.
The Vatican.
Yes, yeah. And a man comes in the night and just brings me off to another and says, "This is your new parish now. Go wild."
If you're getting that right from the top, yeah. You must be whatever you're doing must be pretty special.
And he speaks. He has the big telephone to God. That's what he's saying, not the porcelain one. Not the porcelain one. That is a very funny joke that we like to say when we're doing the communions and the confirmations to make the kids laugh. We'd say, if you want to get in contact with God, you just ring 086 in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And it gets a great laugh. We're hoping to go viral with that on TikToks. But this psychic woman that you have on the phone here, that she's going around, she's getting into the bed.
With Satan, having a cuddle
with sick and dying people, just to have a little flash of, what is it? It's a sick thrill to see, oh, is she going to heaven? Is she going to hell?
Is it a sick thrill, Dee Dee?
It wouldn't be a sick thrill, no. It's basically...
You're a pervert, I'd say.
Are you a pervert, Dee Dee?
Absolutely not. I was born with psychic abilities and I can't help that. And Father, I love the church. I love priests. I go to church every Sunday. But I can't help that I was born with these amazing abilities. And people want to know if their loved one is going to go to heaven or hell. So I'm just giving them the message.
But if you live a good life, no matter what you've done... As long as you come into me, you tell me what you've done.
Confession.
That's what we call it.
And oh, no. Yeah. We've heard of it. Yeah.
And you go into the box, the secret box. You close that door.
Yeah.
You come in and you tell me your sins. And then you repent and you do. It doesn't matter what you've done. You could have kicked a dog. You could have.
A child.
Yes. You could have murdered someone. You know, done all the bad things.
Is that true, though? Is there not one or two things that are like...
Because as long as you say you're sorry, it really... God is like... But thank you for apologising. God is like a really understanding mother, father, uncle. Like an uncle.
A friendly uncle.
An uncle, rather.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be afraid of him.
Is the reason then that so many people are going to hell is that they've stopped going to confession?
I haven't been getting many hits in the confessional box. I was putting it down to COVID. People were less inclined to do the confessions over Zoom because we did have a rogue, this Russian lad who lived in the town. He actually went online. He somehow got on the call and he live streamed the confessions.
Oh, no.
To a few parishes in Eastern Europe. Ugh. So it's
literally the last thing you want.
The last thing you want is your confessions going out on a live stream.
Did you say he was Russian?
He was Russian.
Bloody Russians.
Oh, it's all about cyber attacks.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're it'll be happening again soon. They went for the HSC and now they're coming for the confessionals.
Why did we let them get so good at cyber attacks? We're all just sitting around playing PlayStation.
Control-alt-deleting our way out of it.
Yeah, turn it off and on again. All right, look, Jesus, we're getting deep into it here. Alex is on the line. Alex, you studied under Professor Seymour and found some of her methods questionable. Is that right?
Well, I've had them peer-reviewed.
Okay.
I've shown them to my peers.
Yeah.
It didn't really add up what you're saying about, you know, getting into bed with people. I guess it's more so the fact that if someone's on their deathbed, Dave, it's their last moments. It's their family's last moments. And what's really happened is the families are starting to complain that Dr. Dee Dee is kind of like at the last moment where they're trying to say goodbye to their loved one. Dee Dee's just kind of like, can I just get it? Sorry, if you don't mind. And kind of like crawling in and creating
a
barrier.
And she doesn't have permission from any of the families or the hospitals or the hospices.
Yeah, like she says it's research.
Which it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to say, you know, I love you, Dad. I love you, you know. And she's like, no, sorry, this is a science. This is a lab now.
Yeah.
So you need
And then she's turning around and telling them, you're going to hell.
Yeah, 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 she'll say it out loud, so she'll, because she'll kind of have a look at, you know, close her eyes, and she'd be like, yeah.
And then she'll tell. And like, people don't necessarily want to hear that just before they die. Their families don't necessarily want to hear that.
Truth
as
hurts.
Their loved one. Well, the truth does hurt. Yeah, that's
really
bad.
That's
true. Yeah.
But that's the thing. I do go to local wakes that I'm not invited to. And I'll just kind of pop in at the back while the coffin is in the middle. And I'll kind of give people a nudge. They're afraid to at first, but then I kind of nudge them in, and I'd usually pick the skinniest people in the room with the coffin and just kind of sit them in there at the coffin just to confirm, you know, if
they are. Oh, you can do it after they're gone.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It's a bit blurry. You might not be able to see David Guest and Hitler at the back,
but you'll
definitely be able to see the fire and the flames
or
the clouds and the blue sky.
So you'll go to a wake and you won't necessarily get into the coffin yourself. You might encourage somebody.
Well, if nobody else will do it, I'll absolutely hop in, and just kind of shout out the result and then leave.
Yeah.
And then wait for the next family to come in.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to the funeral home.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's kind of an open door policy
and also
that they have.
You can do a lot more that way rather than going to people's houses.
Exactly. I do the Saturday and the Sunday shifts, and then Monday to Friday we're going to people's houses.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think people are thankful. Maybe not at the time. A lot of shouting, get out of here.
Yeah. But who do you think you are?
Exactly. But then I think, you know, they, you know, haven't heard back from many people, but I would assume that they feel kind of glad knowing where their loved one has gone.
Kind of,
you know, if they were a terrible person.
Because it's
the
not knowing, you know, sometimes that gets you, you know.
Yeah.
So at least they can just rest easy that they're in hell, and,
exactly.
and at least people like Brittany Murphy and David Guest are there. So it's not all bad.
To be honest, I kind of want to go to hell because it does seem like a bit of crack there. And I mean, David Guest never went to confession. He said that in Big Brother episode 6. So I would say you're very right, Father, about that, about the confession and about, you know, that's stopping the forgiveness.
The diary room, was that not... not a bit of a confessional.
Is Big Brother a father? Does it work that way? Does anybody?
I mean,
just
they do call
hear?
It the confessional. No, the
a diary room.
That's where you do your doodles in your diary.
Yeah.
If the people behind the screen or the wall or whatever,
if they were ordained,
that would be binding.
Yes, that is a game changer.
You didn't work for Big Brother at any stage, did you?
Not on season 6.
One of the other seasons, though?
I worked on the one that the builder won.
Oh, Craig.
Craig.
Season 1, I think that was.
Craig.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was a lovely man.
Lovely man. Definitely.
He would have dealt with Nasty Nicks.
Nasty. He was nasty, but he confessed now.
He's grand now.
He's someone that you definitely won't see in hell.
Yeah, unless he's done a load of other horrible stuff
that we don't know. It was all an act.
Right. Absolutely.
And he was a great actor.
Yes, absolutely.
He brought the entertainment factor, I thought.
Entertainment factor, yeah.
You know, there's a line... He did cross it, but he slipped into me then at the end when the presenter, I can't remember her name, Vanessa Hutchinson.
Denise Van Outen.
Denise Van Outen, yes, that one. Great, fantastic singer. She whispered in his ear, you know, don't curse, you're live on air and all. And of course he went, oh, the fucking this. And I'll have to go into confession now myself. With myself, it's gas.
And Father, would you do much reality? I do find it's a really interesting service to give to the nation.
Reality TV?
Yeah, I think it's a real hoot. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think the more priests that go on national television, the national broadcasters, and go live with their... It was shocking when our confessional was hacked by the Russians and you know, live streamed across Eastern Europe. But at the same time, we're making... It's broadening our audience.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
Mm. And people's... I actually played a blinder that day with the stuff this guy was giving me. He was polluting himself and doing all sorts. And I set him on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people saw that now that I'm a good man. I'm a man of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told him to go out there and do 2 Hail Marys and 3 Our Fathers.
What was his name?
Oh, I Very good.
There's a reason why you're moved around from parish to parish. I'll tell you what, there's no flies on you.
And Cilla Black is one of those people who definitely went to heaven, you know, in blind dates, that little wall that was there. After the show was over, she used to get a priest in, confess her sins, just behind the wall. Isn't that great?
But a beautiful
read that
woman.
On Reddit.
A beautiful woman she was.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Rest in
heavenly.
Peace.
And obviously she did that for so many years. She was constantly getting confessions. That's amazing. Just quickly back to you, Alex. You said that there's some other methods that Professor Seymour has chosen to do that were, you think, questionable. What were those?
Professor Seymour was placing bets before actually going into the wakes and various things.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Giving odds and...
Sort of the other in-laws, yeah. So right. They did kind of, yeah... And I guess when you're profiting from that kind of thing, it's not really...
That's not research now, Professor.
Mm. Yeah, that's just to pay the bills. Yeah.
Well, can you see why people might think that that's questionable behaviour?
Yeah.
I mean, you're an academic.
Yeah, no, I could see it that way. And that's why I would place myself in villages that had a lot of Paddy Powers. So I knew that there was an audience there for the betting kind of industry. So I thought maybe
just because there's an audience though doesn't make it right.
I see. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Maybe I'll stop doing that and come up with another thing.
A way to make money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like
How much do they weigh, maybe?
What was the side hustle?
The side hustle was for people who just wanted to know in advance whether they needed to change their ways before they died.
Well, so that seems like a better way to...
Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah, yeah.
Astronomical charges, though. What she would do is kind of like someone would stand beside a road and she would hold them by the back of the jacket. Mm. And then when a bus came, she would go, whoop. Like, you know, push them out and then bring them in quite quickly so that they would think it was almost
so it was near
like
death
a,
so yeah. that they could... Oh, that's,
and then
that's
she would like
clever,
quickly
though.
Look.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd quickly look, you'd snuggle in behind in front of them or whatever.
Snuggle in and say, well, stop what you're doing there. What bad things are you doing? And they tell me like, oh, you know, grabbing salt from McDonald's and bringing loads home.
Yeah, you can't
and
do
not
that.
Letting the staff know.
Well, interesting though, because I think that's like morally, I'm not the... pushing people out in front of a bus, but the offering the service is a lot more morally acceptable than, you know, betting on loved ones who passed away.
Yeah.
You could team up with the father here.
Father, yeah.
You could they could pay you to find out which way it's going, and if it's going bad, pop into the confessional box. Throw you a few quid as well.
Yeah.
I'd be up for that.
Couple
up
of our fathers,
yes.
Couple of Hail Marys, and they're away in a hack.
I'm sure Hell would be grateful for it, because if they are over packed at the moment, it might have to reduce some of the numbers.
Alleviate the pressure.
The staff are a bit bored in heaven, I heard that actually.
And that's how you lose staff, you know. If the staff are bored, they'll start moving to hell, and it's a slippery slope. What do you think of that, Father?
I think, look, as long as we get more people in the pews, on the midweek, you know, that's what I want, because I kind of want the weekends to myself.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to wear the priest uniform. I prefer all my colours and my scarves.
Oh, no, that's fine. You don't have to dress up as a priest.
Collaboration, but kind of stick to our own goals.
You can't have
the weekend to yourself.
You can't just stick on a doctor's uniform and go around cutting people open. Like you have.
Very good point, Father.
We'll stick to our own
excellent
uniforms.
Yeah, look, he doesn't come into your funeral homes and climb into coffins with you and tell you whether people
Although
are going to hell.
Although you're welcome to.
It's been a few times I want to, you know yourself.
we all want to sometimes. Okay, I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all of my callers today, but I especially want to thank Laura O'Leary, Andrea Farrell and Clara De Bruyn. Guys, do you have anything you want to plug? I'll go around this way.
I want to plug, can I plug another podcast?
Of course.
And it's a Head Stuff one, so it's all good. myself, Edwin Salmon and Trevor Brown, we have a podcast called The Cinestream Club.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about our favourite films from our childhood, and we just rip them apart and put them on the wall and say, do they deserve to be remembered so fondly? It can be quite tragic.
Why?
Because you're taking something that you haven't seen since you were like 9. You're like, this is the best film ever. And it's so problematic that you wish you hadn't rewatched it. But a lot of the time, it's great fun. And we just put all the bad stuff into a little box and pretend it didn't happen.
Amazing. Laura, do you have anything you want to plug?
Not at the moment, but follow me on Instagram @Laura O'Leary.
Cool. And Clara?
I just want to plug Seal Rescue Ireland, my job. Follow them on Instagram, TikTok. They do great work. They're a charity working to rescue, rehab and seals across Ireland. So, yeah, check them out.
Amazing.
Oh, amazing.
That's a lovely plug. I want to plug this podcast. If you like this podcast, tell some people about it and yeah, let them know that it's good and maybe they'll start listening to it too. Thanks, guys. Thank you to the Heads Up Podcast Network for having us and to Bobby Hearn for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Phoning it in. Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.